this is Sally, and welcome to Reclaiming Pride, LGBT plus survivors of narcissistic abuse. Before we start, there is a trigger warning. The episodes of this podcast may at times refer to domestic violence, emotional, financial, and sexual abuse. In this third of our three-part series on narcissistic parenting, we'll be looking at the health effects on the child or adult child. Then we'll examine how growing up in a narcissistic family dynamic can have deep ramifications later in life. And finally, healing from the narcissistic parental figure in your life. So first, let's take a look at those health consequences of childhood narcissistic trauma. In the seminal book, The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind, and Body in the Healing of Trauma by Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, he writes about the ramifications of childhood trauma, including emotional abuse or neglect, and how these can have an alarmingly far-reaching effect on our spirit as we enter into adult life. Van der Kolk even talks about the ways in which the brain is even rewired in childhood as a result of trauma. Children of narcissistic parents are systematically programmed to internalize the message that they only have value in as much as they are valuable to the narcissist. In other words, they feel worthless. For example, you may have grown up in a household where love was extremely rare and always conditional, if it was offered at all. Let's not forget, however, that survivors of narcissistic childhoods tend to be some of the strongest people you will ever meet because of everything they have had to endure and overcome. They can channel their trauma into tremendous transformation, but they have to get there first. And it is a long, hard road, as many of you will well know. The complex PTSD or CPTSD of anyone who's been in an intimate or close relationship with someone with narcissistic personality disorder mirrors that of somebody who has been in the theater of war. It is real. It is relentless. Children and narcissistic households are literally under siege constantly. They are emotionally and physically traumatized, and the ways in which their brains have been rewired by that trauma leave them open to further trauma in later life, unless this is addressed. In The Body Keeps the Score, Dr. van der Kolk writes, "Ideally, our stress hormone system should provide a lightning-fast response to threat, but then quickly returns us to equilibrium. In PTSD patients, however, this stress hormone system fails at this balancing act. Fight, flight, freeze signals continue after the danger is over. Instead, the continued secretion of stress hormones is expressed as agitation and panic, and in the long term, wreaks havoc with their health." Now, I know I've mentioned this in earlier episodes. You'll notice that I said CPTSD, not PTSD. CPTSD is a concept which was developed by the psychiatrist Judith Herman. CPTSD can arise from varied events that span years apart that were distressing, devaluing, violent, life-threatening, and always harmful, whereas PTSD arises usually from a single traumatic event, hence the use of the word complex in front of PTSD, so CPTSD. Some of the symptoms of children from narcissistic families you might find are: they have a harsh inner critic, they have devaluing self-talk, disrupted sleep, disruptive breathing patterns, a pervasive sense of guilt, dissociation, nightmares, feelings of helplessness, hypervigilance, flashbacks, maybe even blank spaces in memory because they've blocked things out. They may later suffer from addiction, anger, hyperdefensiveness, a search for mother or father figures everywhere they go later in life, in intimate relationships, a compromised immune system, a sense of dread about the future, trust issues. The list goes on, and it includes cancer. One of the symptoms I mentioned above was hypervigilance. The state of hypervigilance is also associated with damage to health. In her book, The Narcissist in Your Life, Julie Hall mentions San Francisco-based psychotherapist Julie Tannenberg. Tannenberg exclusively works with survivors of narcissistic abuse, and she says, "Growing up in a narcissistic home places stress on the body that threatens our homeostasis, the hypothalamic, pituitary, and adrenal axis, or HPA axis. HPA axis regulates our stress response and also helps the body's ability to process up to and including immunity, emotions, energy storage and release, and also digestion. Hall points out that once the HPA axis is disrupted, we experience fundamental physical health issues, such as the stress hormone cortisol is released by the constant assault of hypervigilance or walking on eggshells, and what this can do to a person. This can result in chronic disorders such as hypo or hyperthyroidism, depleted adrenal glands, migraines, back and neck pain, cardiovascular problems, autoimmune disorders, irritable bowel syndrome, arthritis and connective tissue disorders, leaky gut, and spinal problems. So these are some of the physical and emotional tolls that growing up in a narcissistic household can take on a child. Are you someone who wasn't necessarily athletic when young and yet grew up in a household like this and now have all this kind of unexplained, awful arthritic pain? Well, your childhood experience could have quite a lot to do with it, research shows. These kinds of impacts, as you can hear, tend to follow someone into their adult life and usually need work to undo. So let's look into some of the ramifications in adult life for the adult child of a narcissist. These can be manifested in the following ways. You might have difficulty accepting help from someone, even if you are in an intimate relationship with them. You might have help asking for help from that person, and again, even if it's an intimate partner. You will most likely have difficulty accepting kindness. You may have difficulty valuing yourself or feeling that you are enough or worthy. Having grown up in a household where your boundaries were constantly under assault, you may find it either difficult to assert boundaries yourself as an adult or to accept boundary violations on a regular basis from other people and just keep letting it go. You might find yourself grieving a childhood that you feel was stolen from you. As an adult, and as we learn that we've had a narcissistic parent or caregiver, we realize that this was really happening and the veil is lifted. You realize as an adult yourself how you were treated as a child, and the perspective that this gives us is astounding and can lead you to deep feelings of loss. You might find yourself overextended and running yourself into the ground for the sake of other people. This is usually a result of a childhood which was spent knowing that the only value you had was how much you could serve the narcissist. You may have tragically lost out on professional opportunities because you didn't feel confident enough to go for the job or confident enough to go for the interview after you had applied. You might find that you struggle with empathy yourself as an adult. You may be an empath who truly does feel along with other people, and this leaves you open to having advantage taken of you, particularly by toxic and narcissistic people. You might also find that having grown up in a narcissistic household, there's something in you that seems to crave that jolt, and that ordinary people just seem too boring. You may find yourself gravitating towards narcissistic, toxic, or controlling people because there seems like there's a slight thrill to it. You may find yourself with a partner who is demeaning, critical, abusive, and invalidating. For many people, the cycle can repeat unless it is interrupted. As if this wasn't all enough, it's hugely damaging if there was also another parent present or caregiver and they were equally as mistreated by the narcissist. Not only does the child have to withstand their own suffering, but they also have the impact of watching the toxic parent treat the other parent or adult abusively. In some cases, the non-toxic parent is the only one that the child has, the only sense of normalcy in that family. The child will often form a deeper bond with the non-toxic parent, and yet that non-toxic parent is constantly at the demand and abusive beck and call of their toxic partner or spouse, as they are also being systematically abused, just like the child. What you'll notice too is that the cycle that somebody was shown as a child by the narcissist will be the same cycle that they may be vulnerable to in relationships in later life with potential narcissists later on. So the narcissist's abuse cycle never actually changes. There's the love bombing at the start, then followed by the unrealistic idealization of the person, so the idealization phase, then the control, judgment, and fear slowly starts to creep in, and then you go into the devaluation stage. But by that point, you're hooked to the narcissist. Then there's the discard, where they completely give you silent treatment, cut you off, leave, all of those kinds of things. Then, after that, the hoovering will begin, where the narcissist will make all kinds of promises, all of those things. They know exactly what they're doing, and they will try and hoover you back in. And then, of course, the cycle begins all over again. So you've got love bombing, Then you've got idealization. Then you've got devaluation, then discard, and then hoovering. So it literally goes in a circle. So let's start with love bombing or excessive attention. If you grew up in a narcissistic household with a narcissistic parent, you would have been starved of attention, love, and encouragement. You may have even had to squash all of your feelings as a result, and gradually you became dissociated from them. In a childhood of not being seen, heard, loved, or validated, when you do receive excessive attention from someone, then you're hooked immediately. So that's how love bombing works on somebody who already had a traumatic childhood. It's like, wow, this is amazing. What we don't realize is that we're setting ourselves up to begin the cycle all over again, just with a different narcissist. If we do fall for the love bombing of a narcissist, which most people do, once we're an adult, what follows will inevitably be the devaluation and discard stage. And these can be absolutely devastating and, of course, re-traumatizing for somebody who grew up in a narcissistic household. It opens old wounds, and of course, they go very deep. So after the love bombing and idealization phase, we have the devaluation stage. The narcissistic parent treats their own child or children as if they are less than human. They are objects, they are an extension of the narcissistic parent, and are often treated like mascots, trophies, or objects of shame and derision. A child to a narcissistic parent is a puppet, and that is all. When a parent is constantly disappointed by a child, the child then starts to do everything they can to please the parent and ends up walking on eggshells and being extremely hypervigilant around that person. And this is all normalized. The ramifications of this in later life can include being desensitized to abusive language or emotional abuse towards us, and then sometimes even physical abuse. It can make us tone deaf to all of these things and therefore open to being a victim of them over and over again. Adult children of narcissists often feel like this nice and nasty cycle feels like home to them. Now, don't get me wrong. This is completely subconscious. This is not a conscious choice that a person is making, but rather an ingrained pattern of longing in them for the approval that they will never receive and did never receive. I'll talk later on about how this can be undone in adulthood. During this stage too, I'd mention that judgment, fear to keep you off balance, and then eventually full control and abuse of intimacy then occurs. As children of narcissists, people often become blinded to what is actually happening right in front of them because they are so distracted and enmeshed with trying to manage their narcissistic parent and their mood. In later life, this can turn into people-pleasing and excessively catering to people who in no way deserve it. Fear is even considered a normal part of a relationship. And as I said earlier on, this is very easy for someone who grew up in a toxic household to feel really quite bored by ordinary people who are just caring, loving, and want to give you that peace that you deserve. Unfortunately, if you're still trapped in the cycle, these people lack the adrenaline jolt and dopamine rush and oxytocin level the abused child became accustomed to during their life in a toxic home. Does that sound familiar to you? I know it does to me. I did mention also earlier that there is a high level of objectification of the child by the narcissistic parent. I'd mentioned that they often get treated as a trophy or a mascot. Meanwhile, at home, the situation is likely completely different, where the child is demonized, punished, and abused. This is emotional and psychological battery, but an extreme push-pull which confuses, traumatizes, and destabilizes a child. In later life, this could leave someone open to being the so-called trophy partner of somebody else, an object to be paraded and admired with little or no interest in their thoughts, feelings, wants, or needs. During the middle stage of this abuse cycle where all this is happening, there's also something called toxic shame which occurs. This is that feeling of never quite being good enough for someone and hating yourself for it. You'll often find that you will hate who you become around the narcissistic person. And this is often compounded for a child who, you know, the older they get, they start to see their friends and their friends' interactions with their parents, and they realize that something is highly and fundamentally wrong. So the shame really does set in. If you are a child of a narcissistic parent, this feeling will go back as far as you can remember, and therefore is completely ingrained in your psyche until it is undone. If you're in an abusive relationship, your logical brain tells you to leave or tells you that this should stop. And so will all of your friends and people who care about you. And yet there is an ancient part of yourself that is bonded because it runs towards the abuser who acts and behaves almost exactly like the narcissist. This is why many of us keep trying and we keep hoping beyond hope that at some point this will get better. Are you somebody who is a fixer? What I mean is, if someone just wants to vent to you, do you immediately default to trying to fix it? It's so natural to you, you don't even realize you're doing it. Well, this can be a result of having been in a traumatic environment as a child, because you're constantly walking on eggshells with the parent and trying to fix this invisible thing that you apparently have done, which you have no knowledge of. Sometimes people call this being codependent, when what it really is it's a re-traumatization of somebody who grew up in a situation where they were forced to try and placate somebody who is extremely unstable. That's why some people feel that calling the victim in an abusive relationship codependent is problematic. You may find yourself excessively catering to someone else before yourself, to the detriment of your own well-being, mental health, and in the midst of your own illness or own set of problems. Following along from this, you may also notice that your pain threshold is actually higher, and this can mean physically or emotionally. The massive wrench and push-pull from idealization to devaluation in childhood is terrifying. This could lead to somebody being completely desensitized to this kind of trauma in adult life. There is, in fact, a growing body of research that points towards the brain even being wired differently from anxiety due to narcissistic verbal and emotional aggression. As we talked about earlier, the hippocampal limbic system, or HPA axis, is completely rewired by this kind of incessant onslaught of trauma from a narcissistic parent to a child. And finally, after the narcissist in your life has discarded you and maybe then begins their hoovering campaign to bring you back in, perhaps there is a sense of belonging there, a place that feels like home. However, quote unquote, home can be hugely distorted by the experience we grew up in. This sense of so-called safety that we may have by being hoovered by the narcissist back into that feeling of home and return to that relationship with them as an adult is not actually safety. It is familiarity, and it is familiarity with toxicity. Let me ask you something. When things are going well, do you ever find yourself just waiting for the other shoe to drop? Are you afraid to ask for what you need, let alone what you want? And when you do, you feel you have to apologize for doing so? Do you give 1, 2, 3, 4, 100 chances to those people who don't deserve it? Do you have imposter syndrome? Even if you know you're really good at something, you always look at the other people around you and feel like you are cheating somehow and you don't deserve it and that someone will discover that you are a fraud? Have you chosen a partner or friend who's never really fully happy for you and seems very self-centered, and yet you stick by them incessantly? Do you often feel a void that can't be filled? If you said yes to most of these questions, then it's highly likely that you had a toxic childhood. This may have been at the hands of a narcissistic parent. This may have been in a home where you witnessed addiction, substance abuse, and/or violence, or all of the above. What's very important to note is that all of these things can be worked through. All of them. All of these things can be cured in your life. Listening to this podcast may even be part of the way in which you're sorting through everything. With that said, what I'd like to do is take a pause here for us to just emotionally regroup. Then afterwards, I'll be back to talk about recovery from a narcissistic childhood. I'll see you in a minute. Welcome back. What I'd like to do in this section is begin our healing portion of the podcast today with some affirmations for your adult child of a narcissistic parent. Here are some things to remember and live by, if you can. When someone loves you, they do not ask you to fundamentally change who you are. You are allowed to speak up for yourself and say what you think and what you feel. You are not responsible for someone else's thoughts, feelings, or actions. You are only responsible for your own. You are fully entitled to feel your own feelings. You have the right to love or not love someone. You are fully entitled to think your own thoughts without somebody intruding on them. It is okay to be yourself, and that may be different. Each individual is important in their own way, and love is a verb. As the child of a narcissist, it is extremely important to remember that you are not and never were responsible for the following. You are not responsible for your parents' expectations, their treatment of you, your parents' self-esteem, their relationships, your parents' reputation with other people, the narcissistic parents' happiness, their embarrassing or inappropriate behavior, or their treatment of others. As an adult child, you are, however, responsible for how you react to them, and what follows may help you with some of that. You'll need to manage your expectations, choices, relationships, health, attitude, and behavior with your own family. So this includes getting your own needs met. It is highly likely that if you were a child of a narcissistic parent or grew up in a toxic home, that none of this was modeled for you. And you may well feel selfish when doing any of these things, especially looking out for your own needs. I'm here to tell you that none of this is selfish. It is completely normal. It'll be very important for the adult child of a narcissist to acknowledge that you need to heal at your own pace. So nothing else can dictate how long this might take for you. In fact, what is happening is you are literally learning how to reparent yourself. At the end of every episode of this podcast, you've probably noticed that I encourage all of my listeners to seek therapy. I highly recommend it. I also recommend choosing a therapist who's familiar with PTSD, or better still, CPTSD, so that complex PTSD that we mentioned earlier. It would also be good if they were familiar with narcissistic abuse and traumatic childhood experiences. They will need to be LGBT+ friendly. They may even be LGBT+ themselves or an ally. You could also look into meditation if you haven't yet tried it. The use of positive affirmations, perhaps even Reiki healing, and yoga can help as well. If you find yourself as the adult child of a narcissist, having survived an adult relationship with an intimate partner who's a narcissist, then a period of being single to love yourself, get to know yourself all over again, or maybe even aspects of yourself for the first time and start to heal, can also be extremely important and sometimes essential for survivors. Now, you might have a lot of friends and loved ones who mean so well and they love you so much and they encourage you to put yourself out there and meet someone new because they know how wonderful you are. But nobody can tell you when you're ready for that. It's very important at this time that as an adult child of a narcissistic parent, we resensitize ourselves to the fact that toxicity and abuse at home or anywhere in our lives is not normal and it is not healthy. Next, it's important to address any people-pleasing, boundary issues, and also replaying those old tapes that play in your head of being unworthy, invisible, or unseen. So that's where a therapist will come in very handy. You can talk about those inner monologues you have with yourself. So if your narcissistic parent is still alive and you still have contact with them, what follows are a series of tips, but you may want to think about trying when interacting with the narcissistic parent. Even though it's really hard to try not to take words or actions of the narcissistic parent personally, remember, this is always projection. You are your own person. You always have been, not just now that you're realizing it. You always have been. The problem is they knew it and they tried to eradicate that, but they didn't succeed. Try to set up and maintain boundaries. Remember, as we said earlier on in the episodes, you may find yourself being more vulnerable to toxic people than the average person, given that you have a toxic childhood with a narcissistic parent. So those boundaries are very important. It might feel like, you know, the way you put on a stiff new pair of shoes and eventually you wear them in. Once you start setting boundaries in your life with other people, it can feel that way. It can feel awkward. You might feel guilty. That probably means you're doing it right. The next is trust yourself. Try not to second guess yourself. You have a very good gut instinct for these things given your past. Pay attention to who you are drawn to. All right, that's really important. Now, you might be drawn to some amazing people, you know, who are not toxic or anything like that, but just pay attention to it. Even though this may not seem important to you, it is fundamentally important that you should learn to take care of yourself, even though this was never modeled for you in childhood. I mentioned earlier the concept of reparenting yourself. So this is a strategy that can help you to reframe your life after toxic parenting. So here are a few ways in which you can set that strategy in motion for yourself today. First, preserve your privacy. Try not to bring up topics with the narcissistic parent that you don't want them to be privy to. These could be sensitive or important events or issues in your life. Particularly important if you feel vulnerable around these things, try not to mention them to the narcissistic parent. You do not need their approval. And unfortunately, this is something that you will never receive anyway, and it has absolutely nothing to do with you. Seek out, as I've said, a good therapist. Make sure the therapist is trauma-informed, LGBT+ friendly, and also try and find out how much they know about narcissistic relationships or cluster B personality disorders. A good therapist can help you see patterns in your behavior, and they can help you devise strategies in your own life so that these toxic patterns don't keep repeating themselves and therefore you don't end up in another toxic relationship. The next is something that my mum told me years ago about my own narcissistic relationship with my ex. Manage your expectations. If the narcissistic parent needs to stay in your life, you will need to reduce your expectations radically. This person will never change. What they have is a pathological disorder and nothing to do with you. You do not have to endure their ongoing invalidation, and you can stop that relationship at any time. But if you do have to continue to have contact with them, please have realistic expectations of how much you can expect from that relationship. And that's probably one of the hardest things as an adult child, is that really and truly all of that hope that we naturally have as empathic people needs to be scuttled because that person's fundamentally not going to change. Set strong boundaries. Everything a narcissist does is devised to get over, under, around, and obliterate your boundaries. Therefore, setting boundaries with a narcissist can be very difficult. However, setting boundaries is the cardinal rule if you need to avoid a toxic relationship with the narcissistic parent. This might involve you having to lay down the law about subjects you will and will not discuss. It may mean that that person cannot stay in your home. It may mean that they are not invited to attend certain events, as they might seek to spoil it. If you have children of your own, you will need to set strong boundaries around your parent and their access to your children. You will need to accept the hard truth that this person, as I've said, will never change. When they criticize you or invalidate you, this is simply who they are. But do remember that you are no longer that helpless little child waiting for them and waiting for their validation. You are an extraordinary person. You are now strong as an adult because of what you have been through and more. Be prepared that the older the narcissistic parent gets, the nastier they actually may become. So if you do still need to have contact with them, this is something that you will need to radically accept and proceed accordingly with all of the things I've mentioned before, the boundaries especially. Try and recognize how the patterns from your narcissistic childhood family dynamic may be affecting your present life. These patterns may manifest in a toxic intimate relationship. You might be in a friendship or a work relationship with somebody who is prickly and nasty to you with a sarcastic sense of humor, and yet you stick by them. None of these things are okay. Try to be aware of these things and watch your interactions with people around you and the way that they treat you. If you know that you cannot trust someone, then try, especially in a work situation, try and limit your contact with them and try not to tell them anything about yourself that is going to put you in jeopardy. Try to build zones of tranquility or buffer zones around the times that you need to interact with your narcissistic parent. This can occur on a micro or macro level. What I mean by that is you may need to think about how many times a month you see this person or how many times a year. This could also mean that if you are meeting them, then take a few moments in your car or out of their sight somewhere in order to prepare yourself and your boundaries and your emotional well-being before you interact with this individual. Listeners, if you grew up in a toxic home at all, or with a narcissistic parent, or have been with a narcissistic intimate partner, friend, or family member, be aware that as you seek to heal yourself and reparent yourself, and as you go through this experience, you will actually likely experience the stages of grief. There'll be denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally, acceptance. Now, these may not necessarily go in order. They may repeat over and over again until you get through it. As I said earlier, there's no time scale for this. It works differently with every individual. So try and be kind to yourself through the process. So in conclusion to these three episodes and our time together on narcissistic parenting, I just want to leave you with these thoughts about establishing healthy routines for yourself. Although some of these may seem boring and mundane, they're actually at the heart of self-care for what someone like you and me will need. As you identify things that may trigger or upset you around the narcissistic parent, breathe. Even though this seems obvious, regulating and concentrating on your breathing and actually focusing on it is a form of meditation, and it's highly therapeutic. Try to eat well and nourish yourself. Food is fundamental to your health, and your health matters. Spend time in nature. This can be an extremely calming thing, and it may have been something that you never had in your childhood development because it's something that the narcissist never wanted to do. Try and feel the quiet serenity, feel the grass, watch the sky, listen to the trees in the wind. Try paying attention to your senses in nature. This can also be very calming and very centering. I remember during a particularly abusive times with my ex, I would actually escape to nature and I would do all of those things, and it was highly therapeutic. Stay connected with other people who are healthy for you. Even if you do prefer to be alone, and you might even be an introvert, try not to isolate yourself as you were isolated by the narcissist. Reach out to people who matter to you and stay connected with them. Be with the people who make you happy and can give you a healthy perspective. Reach out to people who care about you. If you like animals, spend time with them. They're amazing beings and see us in ways that people cannot. You can be yourself around an animal with no judgment, no guile, and they will be there for you unconditionally. Try to set regular times to go to bed and to wake up. You'll be amazed how much physical and emotional pain can subside when you actually sleep well. And finally, try to do work that you love. If you don't have the privilege of doing a job that you love, try to make space to do hobbies and work that you love outside of your daily work that you get paid for. This could feed your soul and may lead to something bigger in your future, who knows? Finally, always know that your biggest weapon against a narcissist is your sense of self, your self-love, and the way you value yourself. The insight you have into who you are, and this all means acknowledging that you are and have always been enough. Please note, this podcast is not intended to replace professional therapy or counseling. It serves as a supplementary resource for support and encouragement. Listeners, you are encouraged to seek professional help if needed. I did, and it still works for me every day. Stay tuned, and I look forward to healing with you next time. Bye-bye.